Good morning. Wonderful worship, wonderful time to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to just tell you how much I miss you and miss being together. Very soon that's going to happen, I'm sure. If you're visiting today, happy Resurrection Sunday again. And I want the title of my message this morning, of course, is He is Risen. The greeting is a familiar one on this day of days, Resurrection Sunday. It has little to do with Easter baskets and candy or the Easter bunny, and it has everything to do with Jesus Christ. The truth is, he was not just an historical figure. He was just not a good man or a holy man. Jesus Christ was God, came in the flesh. The resurrection of Christ is an historical fact for these three reasons. Just three for the purpose of our message today, many more. But I want to talk about three. Number one is the tomb was found empty. Number two, Jesus' own disciples had encounters with the risen Christ. And number three, the church started and grew as a result. Let's look at number one, the empty tomb. Jesus Christ was first preached as the resurrected Savior in the same city as he was crucified in, Jerusalem. Listen, my friend, you don't stage a farce in your own backyard. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, the worst thing that they could have done was preach that resurrection in the same city where thousands of people watched him die. Even the Jews that did not believe did not deny the empty tomb. They believed the body to be stolen, so they agreed that the tomb was empty. The burial story is one of the best established facts about Jesus. All the disciples died because of this. Now, one or two may die, but 10 died because of their belief in the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Secondly, Joseph of Arimathea was part of the Sanhedrin, and when Jesus died, he came and asked for the body of Christ so he could lay him in his tomb. He was part of a kind of Jewish Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin. He gave his personal tomb for the burial of Christ. If the body had been stolen or there had been any kind of a tomfoolery, he would have been put on trial being part of the Sanhedrin. The empty tomb, thirdly, was found by women. And unfortunately, the testimony of women in Jewish culture at that time was considered worthless. So, for them to tout that kind of thing and come forth, they were the first ones to see the empty tomb. There are three alternatives to this. Either the disciples were lying, or they hallucinated, or they really saw who they saw. Again, 10 people do not give their lives for a lie. Maybe one, maybe two, but not 10. Hallucinations. Part of the theory was they all hallucinated. They loved Christ so much, they wanted to see him rise. I don't know about you, but 10 people seeing the same hallucination, all 10 people, and then he was seen by over 500 together. And you don't get 500 people to hallucinate. No, my friend, Jesus rose from the dead. And then lastly, 3 years after the crucifixion, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books in the New Testament, had a face-to-face encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus and at other times. The disciples saw, touched, and even ate with the Lord. You know, this is all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without him raising, we are wasting our time. Jesus claimed to be God. Even if you do not believe the Bible to be inspired, the facts cannot be denied by any reasonable inquirer. Even skeptical scholars admit the passages about his resurrection to be valid. Because the resurrection is true, then, the Word of God is also true. 66 books over 4,000 years by 40 authors who agree with one another. The resurrection, my friend, is a fact. Different religions contradict one another. They cannot be true. There's not many truths. There's only one truth. And also, Jesus is the only religious leader that rose from the dead. His resurrection is proof positive that all he said was true. Acts 17, verse 30 says, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this all by raising him from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead to give us assurance that eternal life and forgiveness of sin is real. Truth is this: we will all answer for our lives one day before a holy God. We do not measure up to his standard if we are honest. None of us measure up to his standard. There's something within each and every one of us that knows without Christ, we fall short. If you're listening this morning, if you're part of the broadcast this morning, and you're wondering where you stand with God, if you do not have Jesus Christ in your heart, your standing with God is null and void. It's not because God is unfair. It's because he's perfection, and there must be perfection that is meant. Jesus offers this eternal life. He rose from the dead because he loves us and he wants us to be with him for an eternity. Yes, that's you, my friend. You know, God is a just God. He cannot let sins go. All the sins that we see in this world, and we see many, there are people hungry for power. There are people hungry for lusting after things. There's all kinds of drugs and alcohol. There's divorce. There's uprisings everywhere in the world. We could see that God cannot let this go. The penalty must be paid for these sins. That penalty was paid by Jesus himself. He died for you and I in our place. Let me read from Romans chapter 4 and verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed or put into us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. You know, my friend, he is willing and able to forgive and cleanse each one of us. Resurrection is promised for those who will trust Christ as their Savior. We will raise from the dead to be with him for an eternity. Think about it. Think about what God has planned for you. All you need do is confess your sins. Christ will forgive those sins and place within you his eternal promise to be with him for an eternity. The Bible says that all have sinned. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That levels the playing field for all of us. There's not one of us that is not in need of a Savior. You're being offered this today. If you are not saved, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God wants to speak to you this morning. Or maybe you're listening this morning and you've fallen away. Let me tell you, God's never forgotten you. His promise to you when you did receive him was that he'd never leave or forsake. He's not far away. He's right there in your heart. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I always say the wages of sin is death. You have to work to die. You have to continue to live your life the way you're living it, in rebellion. You're working for death. But God has given each one of us a gift. You don't pay for a gift. A gift is something that's given by someone else. God the Father gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in place of us, that sins might be dealt with in a proper manner, in a perfect manner. God loves you this morning. Matter of fact, he loves us so much that while we were in sin, Romans 5:8 says, Christ died for us. While we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a love that he had for us. And that happened 2,000 years ago. My friend, all you need to do, it's very simple. And I want to introduce you to Jesus. I want to introduce you to Jesus this morning to speak it yourself. I've made some proof of the resurrection. Christ was a historical figure. There's more books written on him and more facts about him than any historical figure in history. Christ loves you. You speak it yourself. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess the Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. God does not grade on a curve. It's a pass or fail. It's as simple as that. The law must be kept with perfection. Jesus did that and welcomes you to be included in that perfection through your belief in him and what he already accomplished. Just to bring this into focus, I want to use a little illustration. A rich man offering $1 million to whomever can swim the distance from San Diego to Hawaii. Now, the rules are that you must swim that distance without any motorized or other assistance. No one can help you. It must just be you paddling from one shore, San Diego shore, to the shores of Hawaii. Well, after $1 million, no one takes that offer. He offers $10 million, and there's still no takers. So he offers finally $100 million, and on the day of the competition, 10,000 people show up. That's a lot of money. After 20 yards, many turn back who either can't swim or are bad swimmers. 5 miles out, 250 swimmers are still there. 20 miles out, 150. And 50 miles out, there's 25 people that are left. And at 100 miles, there's only two left in the water. Finally, a woman that is an Olympic gold medalist makes it an extraordinary 215 miles in the water. When she's pulled into a boat, she tells the rich man she deserves the prize because she was the only one that made it that far. And then after being turned down, she tries to get him to pay for the distance she swam. But the rules were the rules. Shore to shore, she did not make it. The perfect person was to swim from the sands of San Diego to the beaches of Hawaii. My friend, there's no almost being good enough. There's no partial rewards. Belief in Christ is the only way that you're going to experience that resurrected life that God gave us. You know, there's a promise in the Word that's so dear to me, that we'll die one day, all of us. There's only one way to leave this world, and that's death. But to the Christian, the promise is the resurrection from the dead on that great day. The Word of God says that we'll receive new bodies and we'll be with him for eternity. We'll experience the resurrection that Christ demonstrated after being dead for 3 days. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." I want to appeal to your hearts today. If you're listening by radio or if you're on the video this morning, I want to appeal to your hearts. You have many chances to receive Christ. God does not forget anyone. I don't care who's listening this morning. You at one time or another and probably multiple times have been offered eternal life. I want to offer that to you again. I want to introduce you to the man that saved my life. I'm not saying that it's magic. You just say a prayer and it's all over. No, you have to get to know Jesus and he'll take you at your word. If you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll come in. If you've been away from Jesus, he'll listen. God's mercy is far above his law. He desires that no one perish. He desires you to receive him in your heart. I want to tell you that this is a very special day for me. 1981, Easter Sunday morning, beside my bed in my bedroom alone, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I was desperate. I didn't know if he was real. I didn't know if he was going to do what he said he was going to do. But many people had witnessed to me, and I reached a place where I just said, "God, if you could save me, please do that. Jesus, come into my heart." And I want to tell you, such a wonderful thing happened. I've never been the same since. Just one touch from Jesus has carried me through all these years. And he is my friend. I get to talk to him all the time. He's very much alive. God is very much alive and wants to be part of your life. My friend, it's real. It's not just a magic little prayer that you say. It's inviting the King of Kings, the one who rose from the dead, into your heart. Won't you do that this morning? I'm asking you that you would consider the words that you heard this morning and make that commitment today. You can reach me at 574-835-0865. I'll be more than glad to pray with you. And if we need to get someone else, I have others that you can talk with. If you have a pastor that you know, get them on the phone, call them. There's not one person that would be angry because you've interrupted their Easter dinner. I want to pray with you. Thank you for listening. Those listening by radio, God bless you. Our prayers are for you. And our prayers also that this social distancing would end very soon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for those that are listening this morning. I thank you for my church family. I thank you for the commitment that they have with you. Thank you for reminding us this morning of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for raising from the dead and inviting me into the family of God, inviting those that I'm praying with into the family of God. And I pray for those that are making a decision this morning. And I pray that their hearts would be open to you, that just now they would ask you to forgive them of their sin, and that they would ask you to come into their lives. And God, through the process of conversation back and forth with them, that you would write their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank you, God, for forgiving our sins. I thank you, God, for placing us in your family. And would you just pray this prayer with me? Father, I thank you for receiving me into your family. I ask that you forgive my sin. You wash me and cleanse me. I believe that you rose from the dead. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to live with you forever. Start my life now, God, brand new. Lord, forgetting all those things that I did before, I want to be clean before you and walk with you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there are four things I want you to do if you prayed that prayer. I want you to find a Bible. If you do not have a Bible, ask somebody. We'll get you one here at the church. You could call the number I just told you, 574-835-0865, and begin to read the Bible. A good place to begin is the book of Mark. It's only 16 chapters, and it covers the life of Christ. It's a good place to start. Number two, I want you to begin to talk with God. Now, how do you talk with God? You don't need to learn to pray. There are no classes for that that will teach you what you just begin to know. Just talk to God and wait on Him. You'll be surprised. He'll speak to your heart. Number three, I want you to find people that are serving God and make friends with them. Become close with them. They'll help you in the walk with Jesus Christ. Absolutely necessary to have people around you. In this social distancing time, get online, get FaceTime with other Christians. And number four, when this finally lifts, even before it does, you're welcome to be part of our video church. There's other video churches all over the area. And if you're far away in your area, there's something. But get involved with a group of people, church that will show you the word, that will disciple you, which means teach you about the things of God. So I encourage you to do those four things. Thanks so much for listening this morning. New Life family, happy Resurrection Sunday. And to all the rest, may God bless you.